Okay, we have the mitzvah in this past week's parsha. Es shabso sai tishmoru kumikdashi tirou ani Hashem. So, es shabso sai tishmoru mikdashi tirou ani Hashem. We're going to talk a little bit about Mora HaMikdash, the mitzvah of Mora HaMikdash. So what exactly is this mitzvah all about? What are the different chalakim of this mitzvah? And are any parts of this mitzvah actually still applicable bizman hazeh when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash? And, being that this week is Pesach Sheni, let's just throw in a couple of words about Pesach Sheni, because we would like to know what happens if the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt this week. Are we actually going to have the opportunity to be makriv Pesach Sheni or not? So let's see what we're talking about here. We have a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Vav Amud Beis. This is a very important Gemara in the sugya of Mora HaMikdash. Says the Gemara on Vav Amud Beis, Ma Shmira HaAmura B'Shabbos LaOlam. We darshan from the fact that the Pasuk says, in the same place, it says, Shabsosai Tishmoru U'Mikdashi Tiro. From the fact that Shabbos and Beis HaMikdash are quoted one next to the other in the Pesukim, we learn that Ma Shmira HaAmura B'Shabbos LaOlam. Just like we assume a person has to keep Shabbos forever, for all times, there's no exception to that rule. Af Mora HaAmura B'Mikdash LaOlam. So too, when we're talking about Mora HaMikdash, the Isser of being Mevaza the Makam HaMikdash, that is something that is a mitzvah la'olam. If you look in the Rambam writes in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Beis HaBechira Halacha Aleph, following the simple understanding of this Gemara, the Rambam writes that even Bizman HaZeh, when we have no Beis HaMikdash, even Bizman HaZeh, when there is no Makam HaMikdash at all, we still have an Isser of Mora Mikdash, meaning a person is not allowed to go on to the Makam HaMikdash and do certain activities, as we'll see in a few minutes, what those activities consist of.
Is Mora HaMikdash from like rebelling against?
So let's just give us a few minutes. We'll develop what's going on here. Says the Rambam, why does this apply even Bizman HaZeh when we have no Beis HaMikdash? Seemingly, I would have assumed that the Isser Mora HaMikdash only applies, the mitzvah of Mora HaMikdash only applies when there is a Beis HaMikdash there. But nowadays, why is there an issue at all of Mora HaMikdash? Says the Rambam, because we have a famous Machlokes Tanoim in the Gemara Megillah and in many other places. Whether Kidsha L'Shaita or not, do we assume that once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, there's no longer any sort of Kedusha in the Makam HaMikdash at all? Or do we assume, no, once the Makam HaMikdash was endowed with Kedusha, it now stays forever? So the Rambam is of the opinion, famous Machlokas, but the Rambam is of the opinion that not only was the Beis HaMikdash Niskadish at the time that there is a Beis HaMikdash, but also Kidsha La'asad Lava. The Rambam is of the opinion that the Makam HaMikdash is Kadosh forever and ever. And therefore, says the Rambam, the mitzvah of Mora HaMikdash applies even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Why? Because Kidsha La'asad Lava. That's what the Rambam says. Now, why should we assume that way? The Rambam adds some explanation here. Why should we assume that there is Kedusha in the Makam HaMikdash even after there's no Beis HaMikdash? I would have said that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is what gives the whole Kedusha to the Makam HaMikdash. Why is it that there should be any sort of Kedusha Bizman HaZeh? Anybody know? Yeah? So the Rambam says, because the whole presence of the Shekhinah is what endowed the Makam HaMikdash with Kedusha. So therefore, says the Rambam, although without a Beis HaMikdash you don't have as highly concentrated of a presence of Shekhinah as we used to have, but still, says the Rambam, since the Shekhinah is what gave the Kedusha to the place, the Shekhinah is Eina B'Tela La'olam. That's what the Rambam says. The Shekhinah is something that stays forever, and therefore, even Mizman HaZeh, there is Kedusha to the Makam HaMikdash. One second, we'll get to your question, but the Ravid right over there jumps on the Rambam. The Rabbi disagrees and assumes, Lo, Kidsha La'asad Lava. Big suffix in the Menchas Chinuch, exactly what the Rabbi means, but the simple understanding of the Rabbi is, without any fancy taros, simple understanding of the Rabbi is that there is no Kedusha to the Makam HaMikdash at all, and therefore this mitzvah, this Isser of Mora HaMikdash, would not apply at all in our times, until the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, Pemher V'Yameinu. But the Rabbi seems to be disagreeing with the Rambam in that point. The Menchas Chinuch says, no, maybe that's not what the Ravid means. Menchas Chinuch says, maybe all the Ravid means is that there's no Isser Kares, but there still is an Isser. Okay, so that's up for discussion. It seems that this might be the Ravid Shita. If you look in the Taras Kohanim, in the Ravid's Pirush on the Taras Kohanim, it might be, in fact, what the Ravid is meaning to say, that there still is some Kedusha there, but you don't get Kares. Yeah?
So according to the Ravid, why does the Beis HaMikdash even have to be there?
What do you mean? We have to be Makrav Karbanos. We need the Beis HaMikdash.
Why does it have to be there?
No, we know that the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be in a specific place. The question is, without a Beis HaMikdash, is that place anything
any
special?
He says, yeah. with the Beis HaMikdash.
With the Beis HaMikdash, everything's wonderful. Everything's great. Without a Beis HaMikdash, that's a question. Is there any sort of Kedusha without a Beis HaMikdash as well?
So, and the Beis HaMikdash in Tiyak would be different, I'm saying?
Yeah. What the Torah says it should be in a certain place.
Because it doesn't have it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Basically, where the Shekhinah was at some given point in time.
Yeah.
So why is there no Kiddushin Shiloh?
Very good question. Very good question. So the Ravid over there does contrast this to Shiloh. The Rambam and the Ravid talk about Shiloh, and they say no. Shiloh was clear that when it was chosen in the first place, that was just a very transient, temporary kedusha. But now we moved on from Shiloh. Now we went to the Beis Olamim. It's called the Beis Hamikdash. It's called Beis Olamim. Why Beis Olamim? Because that is the place that is kept for Olamim forever. That's the place of the Shekhinah forever. Yeah.
So people are reading Gemara wrong.
Oh, very important question. So how does the Ravid learn this Gemara? How does the Ravid learn this Gemara? What does the Gemara say? Excellent question. What does the Gemara say? Mashmir hamura b'shabbos la'olam, af mora hamura b'migdash li'olam. What does that mean? The same way we keep Shabbos b'zman hazeh, so too we have a mitzvah of mikdashi tiro b'zman hazeh. How do you read that according to the Ravid? According to the Rambam, that's what the Gemara means. Kitchelos alavo. Even b'zman hazeh, we have a mitzvah mora mikdash. But how do you explain it according to the Ravid? It's a major kasha. So if you look at the Menchas Chinuch says, well, this is a very convincing argument. This is why I feel that the Pshat and the Ravid is that there still is an Isser B'zman HaZeh, just as no Chiyuv Karis. That's the way the Menchas Chinuch learns. Because otherwise, how's the Ravid going to explain this Gemara? How's the Ravid going to explain what the drush of the Gemara is, that there's a mitzvah mora migdash la'olam? It's not true. So that's why the Menchas Chinuch says, he thinks that the Ravid will also agree that there is some level of Kedusha, even B'zman HaZeh, just you won't get an Isser Kares for violating any of these Isserim. But that's a fabulous question. If you look in the Menachas Chinuch and Reish Nun Dalet, he does discuss this issue. Now, we have a famous Machlokas. I'm sure many of you have talked about this already, whether Sfiras HaOmer B'zman HaZeh is a mitzvah d'Oraisa or a mitzvah midrabanan. Much has been said about this, but I just want to touch on it very quickly once we're on the subject of Kitchel HaZeh Lavo or not. So the famous interpretation that many D'Achronim give in this Machlokas, whether Sfiras HaOmer should be d'oraisa b'zman hazeh or only midrabanan. What do they say? What's the famous raid?
Rid.
What do they say? Not rid. Raid.
Oh.
What's the famous raid? Yeah.
Is it from an Omer l'chayev in Sfira or is it just the day?
Oh, very good. So the famous Torah that all the Achronim say is it the Karban HaOmer that's mechayev in the Sfira or is it Tezai Nisan that's mechayev in the Sfira? Well, ask Rav Chaim Soloveitchik the following question. Everyone following so far?
Yes.
Question whether it's the Karban HaOmer or it's the day that's Mechayiv. Well, ask the Reb Chaim the following kasha. What happens in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, right? Days of the Beis HaMikdash, something came up, and we weren't able to be makav the Karban HaOmer on Tezai Nisan, for whatever reason, right? Weren't able to be makav. Says Reb Chaim, is it conceivable that year Sfiras HaOmer would only be Derabbanan? Right? You just said, what's up, Shat in the Machlokas, whether Sfiras HaOmer is the Raisa Derabbanan? You're saying what? It's Tali whether the Hakravas Menchas HaOmer is Mechayiv, or the Yom is Mechayiv. Well, what happens in a year when for some reason an onus comes up and you're not able to be Mak of the Karban? Would you say that Sfira is only Derabbanan? So I would have said yes. Why is that so crazy? Yes. Reb Chaim thinks that's inconceivable. You can't say such a pshat. Says Reb Chaim, so then how do you explain what's the Machlok is Talayon? But the Sfira is Omer. What? Oh, very good. Very good. So says Reb Chaim, very lamdish. Says Reb Chaim, what's the Machlok is Talayon? Exactly like you're saying. The machlokas is not whether the yom is mechayiv or the hakrav is mechayiv. Says Reb Chaim, the machlokas is whether kitchel ashaita kitchel asalav or not. What does that mean? Says Reb Chaim as follows: if you hold kitchel ashaita kitchel asalav, like the Rambam says that even mizman hazeh there is kedusha in the makom hamikdash, so then tezai nisan there was a chiyuv for us to bring the minchas omer, right? Because there is kedusha in the makom hamikdash. Practically, we can't bring it because we don't have a beis hamikdash, but there is a mechayiv. Because the Makom HaMikdash does have Kedusha. However, if you say, Lo Kitchel HaSalava like the Ravid, so then there is no Mechayiv B'Zman HaZeh at all. There's nothing to be Mechayiv us. If that's the case, then there wouldn't even be Sfiras HaOmer D'Oraisa B'Chla. Says Reb Chaim, again, just to clarify, Reb Chaim says that the determining factor over here is there a Mechayiv to bring the Sfira, the Minchas HaOmer? Not did you actually bring it. It's just, is there a Mechayiv to bring it? If there's a Mechayiv, then we can say Svira B'zman HaZeh is D'Oraisa. If there's no Mechayiv, then Svira B'zman HaZeh is only D'Rabbanan. So now let's bring this over to Pesach Sheni, one second. Pesach Sheni, the Gemara has a big discussion. What exactly is the Gedra of Pesach Sheni? Pesach Sheni will be on Yud Dalet Iyar, coming up in a couple of days. But on Pesach Sheni, the Gemara says clearly in Pesachim and Tzadi Gimel that Pesach Sheni is Tashlumen D'Rishon. Meaning, a person who didn't have a chance to do Pesach Rishon now has a makeup date. Can only have a makeup if there was a Mechayiv in the first place, correct? It's not shaykh to have a makeup if there was no Mechayiv. So, there is a machlokas in the Yerushalmi between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, what will be the halacha if tomorrow or today the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, and we didn't have the opportunity to bring a Pesach Rishon, but now we're going to have an opportunity to bring Pesach Sheni. Are we going to actually bring a Pesach Sheni or not? That is a machlokas of Yehuda and the Chachamim, but they don't explain what the machlokas is based on. So my father thought it's based on the same Reb Chaim. That if you say, like the Rambam, that kitchel l'shaita, kitchel l'asalavo, that even Mizman Hazeh, there is a chiyuv, there is a kedusha in the makom ha-migdash, so then we can assume that we were chayiv to bring Pesach Rishon, correct? We were chayiv to bring the Pesach Rishon, just practically we weren't able to, so now we have a makeup date. But if you say, like the other Rishonim, that lo kitchel l'asalavo, there is no machayiv at all Bizman Hazeh, because there is no kedusha to the makom ha-migdash, so we weren't chayiv in Pesach Rishon. If we weren't chayiv in Pesach Rishon, you can't talk about a makeup date for later on, if Pesach Sheni comes around and there's now a Beis HaMikdash. Again, the same Achlokas, the way Reb Chaim explained it by Sfiras HaOmer being Daraisa, Darabbanan, Bizman Hazeh, is the way we can explain if the Beis HaMikdash will be built today or tomorrow before Pesach Sheni comes. Will we be chayiv to bring a Pesach Sheni? That is going to be dependent on Kitchel HaShaita, Kitchel HaSalavo, or not. Yes?
Maybe that same Reb Chaim could be used to be in the Asher, the front council, yeah, that we raised. He was going to share on the Rambam, and if the Rambam holds the Sfiras HaOmer to the Oraisa, seemingly according to the Reed, that means that he holds that it's the Mechayev is Tetzai and Nisan, but then Kasha that Rebbe Kohn reads. Why does the Rambam count the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer and have to speed the Musaf in a man in Hilfos at the end of Hilfos Pesach, mm-hmm, or something like that?
So, if it's the Yom.
Right. So, right. So maybe instead of Chaim's answer is
it's still telling on the Karbon.
The Rambam says, telling on the Karbon, the Karbon Kitchel tried to Kitchel Lassen Bach. Well, that point says.
My father says that over. Exactly. That's the way he explains it. I have a kasha on Rabbi Cohen. Okay, yeah.
Why would the Kedusha be Mechayev a Korban? Why isn't the Beis HaMikdash Mechayev?
The Kedusha, meaning the Kedusha was never batel. So practically you can't bring it because there's no Mizbeach. There's no place to bring it. But the Kedusha is Mechayev us in whatever mitzvahs we're supposed to be doing there. Practically there's no Mizbeach, but there is a Makom HaMikdash. Yeah.
What would be the halacha if someone becomes bar mitzvah between Pesach and Pesach Sheni, where they bring the...
Excellent question. So the Gemara has that suffix. The Gemara says, what happens if I'm a Geyer in between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? What happens if I'm a Gadol in between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? The Gemara has a Machlokas Tanam about that. Very good question. And Pesachim Tzadi Gimel. Yeah.
So would that be a similar Machlokas?
Yeah, very similar. Similar, yeah.
Based on the explanation given by the Rishami, why do we assume that the cause for the chiyuv of Korban Pesach is the Kedushin Eretz Yisrael? I would have thought the Zman, even according to the Tanu, says that it wasn't Kitchel HaSalavo. Mm-hmm. You're still chayiv in Korban Pesach, but the reason you can't bring it is because there's no Beis HaMikdash.
So you're saying we're anonymous?
Yeah, anonymous the whole day. I'm not sure what the relationship between the kedusha and the chiyuv is. I would thought the chiyuv comes.
Well, it's not shayach to talk about a makeup date, unless there's a mechayev. Is that correct?
Right, and you could still say I'm chayev even if you say the kedusha was not lost in lavo, because it's.
He's saying the day chayev came. The day came.
I can't have a mesa because there's no kedusha.
Okay.
So I'm anonymous.
Okay. Very good. Strong question. Yeah.
The Mechayev is only put into effect once there's conditions are, because that's why they didn't apply until after.
Meaning you have to get off the ground. You have to have...
What?
Isn't there B.S. Kulcham without Kedushas HaAretz? Some, but we don't have B.S. Kulcham now. You need a few factors together. These are very good questions. I'm just throwing this out for you to think about. Throwing it out for you to think about by Sfiras HaOmer. I'm throwing it out for you to think about when they get out to Pesach Sheni. So now, let's move on. Okay, if we look in the Gemara, in the next line of that Gemara, Yevamos, Davavam Ebeis, says the Gemara, Ezehu Mora. So what constitutes Mora HaMikdash? What does a person do in order to show that he's having Mora for the Beis HaMikdash? Says the Gemara, so what does that mean? Maklo means my stick. Right, I'm not allowed to come in with my stick. It's an interesting shu in the Shavus Yaakov. What exactly does it mean I'm not allowed to come in with my stick? Says the Shavus Yaakov, he imagines that it means a guy who's hiking and his stick is all muddy and all dirty and full of disgusting things on the bottom of his stick as he was traveling along. So that thing, it's not covered to bring that into Beis HaMikdash. But says the Shavus Yaakov, let's say you have a Hasidish Rebbe who comes with a fancy golden stick, and that's the way he walks around to show that he's a Adam Chashuv. Says the Shavus Yaakov, he doesn't think that that is a violation of not coming into the Beis HaMikdash, but Menalo. It's an interesting tshuva. There are those who disagree, because what are you going to do He wants to bring a raya. He wants to bring a raya as follows. He says, from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, we tell him shana alecha me'al raglecha when he comes to the makom hamikdash. But the Rebbeinu Shalom says va'mata hazeh tikach b'yadecha, meaning he was holding the mata, he was holding his stick at the same time that the Hashem told him take off your shoes. So what's going on? You have to take your shoes off, but you're not allowed to have a stick either. Says the Shavuos Yaakov, you see from Moshe Rabbeinu, it must be that if a stick is l'shem kavod, you're not using a stick as a walking stick. It's not going to have dirt on it. If you're using a stick l'shem kavod, says the Shavuos Yaakov, maybe that would be permissible to come into the Beis HaMikdash with that. There are those Achronim who disagree and say, you bring a raya from Moshe Rabbeinu's stick. Targum Yonis of Ben Aziel says Moshe Rabbeinu's stick was had shame on the furish on it. It was able to do miracles. It was an unbelievable thing. Can't really bring raya from that. And says the one of the other Achronim writes, ain't gabus lefnei amakom. What do you mean? You're going to say, I'm the Chassidish Rebbe, that's why I want to bring a golden stick? What do you mean? It's ridiculous to talk that way in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom. You're in the Rebbeinu Shalom's palace. You're going to walk into to the White House. You're going to say, I'm the president of the Hatzioni Club in MTA. It's pathetic, right? They're going to laugh at you. It's the same thing. No, not specifically that. But you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, you say, I'm the Rebbe of this and this Chassidus. Well, we don't care what you are. Take all your hats off and be machnir yourself to the Rebbeinu Shalom. So therefore, this is a discussion, what would we say when it comes to a walking stick, which is not made l'shem walking, it's really made l'shem kavod. Yeah.
I guess there might be a middle ground where even those who have that objection to, you know, not walking in with gaiva, mm-hmm. might agree that if you have something that's not like a hiking stick, but, you know, an old guy, mm-hmm. has a cane, it's a nice thing, it's just...
So we're going to get to that. What about crutches? We'll see that in a few minutes. Okay. This is a very interesting halachas here we're going to go into. So number one, says the Gemara, you can't walk in the maklo. So we discussed with a makol, what's the story with a makol which is not made the shame walking. Bimin alo, says the Gemara, you're not allowed to walk in with shoes. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Ba'afun daso means you're not allowed to walk in with your wallet. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Uba avat sha'al raglov, you're not allowed to have dirt on your feet. Uba moz hatzurum lo besadino, you're not allowed to have a big wallet bulging out of your pocket. Belo yasa kapandaria, you're not allowed to make it as a shortcut in order to get somewhere else. You're not allowed to cut through the Beis HaMikdash in order to get to the other side. Now, if you look in the Meiri in that Gemara in Yavama, so the Meiri points out that midaraisa, the only mitzvah Mara Migdash, is in the Beis HaMikdash proper. Midrabanan, he says, we added on an iser and a mitzvah that in the whole Shetach Harabayis, this mitzvah Mara Migdash applies. Not just in the Beis HaMikdash per se, but in the whole Makom HaMikdash. If you look in the Rambam says clearly in Hilchos Beis HaBechir, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph, that he disagrees with the Meiri. Says the Rambam, this mitzvah, Mor HaMikdash, Midaraisa, applies not only in the Makom HaMikdash, but also in the whole Har HaBayis, that is the mitzvah, Midaraisa. So now, let's look at a fascinating Gemara in Tainus Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, which the Achronim have a serious question from that Gemara in Tainus Daf Yud Tes to this Gemara over here in Yavamas Daf Vav Amud Beis. Anyone know the famous story of Choni HaMa'agel? Right? Everybody knows it. So let's see. If we look clearly, we all know this as children. We all learn the story. However, if you look in the Gemara clearly, we're going to have a major kasha on something that we just learned about the mitzvah of Mora HaMikdash. Says the Gemara as follows. Maisa she'amru lo l'choni ha'magol. This was a period in time where there was no rain in Eretz Yisrael. So says the Gemara. Klal Yisrael was very nervous about it. So the Gemara says they go to the big tzaddik choni ha'magol. Hispalo she'erdu gesham. And they go and they ask him that he should be mispalo, that it should begin to rain. Okay? Says the Gemara, Amar Lahem. So Choni HaMa'agel says to them, I don't want to daven first that it should rain before we take everything inside. Right? If you're going to leave everything outside, things are going to get ruined. So he says, take a few minutes, and bring everything. Bring all the tzuvah, chnisu, tanuri, psachim, mishvil shelo yimoku. Make sure you bring in all your ovens in order that they're not going to get ruined once it starts pouring. Fine, so everyone does what they're supposed to do, and his palal, Choni HaMa'agel, goes to Davin, velo yardu gesham. Lo and behold, his tefillos were not answered. Ma'asa, what did he do? Og uga v'amed besocha. You have to wonder whether his name was Choni HaMa'agel beforehand. Right?
Probably was not.
But it's strange. The Gemara calls him Ma'asa b'Choni HaMa'agel, but we don't know what happened yet. Okay, so the Gemara says over here, Ma'asa, what did he do? Og uga, he draws a circle, right? Doesn't mean he drew a cake. He draws a circle, the Amad Besocha, and he stands in the circle, the Amad Lefanim, and he's mispalel the following tefillah. Ribbono Shalom, Banecha Samu Pneiem Elai, Shaniki Ben Bayis Lefanecha. The reason that Klal Yisrael came to me to ask to daven on their behalf for rain is because they know that I'm like a child to you. They know that I have special privileges to be mispalel And I might be answered. Nishbani b'shmecha ha-gadol, b'shimcha ha-gadol, I'm swearing in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, she'eni zaz mikan, I am not leaving this circle, ad she'terachem al banecha, until you have rachmanos and you actually give them rain. All of a sudden, hischilu gisham minatfim. So okay, starts dripping a little, you know, like a leak in the ceiling, starts dripping down from shamayim. Amar sachoni magus says, achutzbah! Look, Hachshalti, what do you think? I asked that you should just give us a little leak from the sky, a little leak in the bathtub? No. Elo gishmei bar shichan maris. I want enough rain that we should have water to fill up all the reservoirs, everything. Hischilu leir bezaf. All of a sudden there's a hurricane, a storm, a tornado, and everything's getting ruined. Amar lo Hachshalti. That's not what I asked for either. Elo gishmei ratzon abracho nedava. Says Choni Amagol, he's being a little chutzpahdik, right? He's being a little chutzpahdik. He's saying, I don't want this, I don't want that. And finally, he gets what he wants, and he asks to have the perfect amount of rain. Says the Gemara, lo and behold, yardu ketiknan, at sheyatzu Yisrael miYerushalayim, there was so much rain that Klal Yisrael went out of their homes in Yerushalayim to the Har HaBayis mipnei hagashamim. Klal Yisrael couldn't handle the amount of rain, so they leave their homes, and they all ascend to the Makom HaMikdash, the Har HaBayis, as we know, that was the highest place in Yerushalayim. So now they ask him, Shem Shispalata Aleim Sheyardu, Kach Yispalal Sheyolch. Fine, we got what we needed. You should be Mispalal now that all the rain should stop. We have enough, and that's good enough. Fine. So there's a strange line in this Gemara that the Turi Yevin there on Megillah points out. The Turi Yevin is the. Anybody know? Turi Yevin is the same author as the Shagas Aryeh. So Turi Yevin writes in a Sefer on Megillah that he doesn't understand this Gemara. What does the Gemara say? They went to Har HaBayis. How you let it go into Har HaBayis for that? Don't we know the following? One second. Don't we know the following? The Gemara says in Megillah Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis that from the fact that a person is not allowed to, the Gemara says that a Beis HaKnesses is less Kaddish than a Beis HaMikdash, right? We would all assume that. Beis HaKnesses is only Mikdash Mat. Beis HaMikdash is Mikdash Gadol, right? It's the real Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says to spit in a shul is mutter. To spit in Har HaBayis is usur. Then the Gemara says, to wear shoes in a shul obviously is mutter. To wear shoes on Har HaBayis is usur. So says the Gemara, we know that the Kedusha of Har HaBayis and Beis HaMikdash is much more than the Kedusha of the shul. Yet, the Gemara says in Simen, I'm sorry, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Simen Kuf Nun Aleph, in Arachayim, says the Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to go if it starts raining outside and a person is stuck without an umbrella. He's not allowed to walk into a shul. Now, we're not talking about walking into the hallways of a shul that doesn't have kedusha. Person is not allowed to walk into the main sanctuary of a shul to save himself from getting wet in the rain. So ask the Turi Yevin as follows. If we know that the kedusha of Makom HaMikdash is greater than the kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses, so how are you going to explain this? And Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim Simen Kuf Nun Aleph Paskin. That if it's raining outside, a person is not allowed to walk into a shul to save himself from getting wet. What's the reason? To be zayin to the Beis HaKnesses. You're not allowed to use it for your own purposes. You're allowed to go to the Daven to learn, to do other things, to have shiurim, but stam to walk in just to save yourself from getting wet, that's not permissible. So ask the Turi Yevin if that's correct. Say, how are they allowed to walk up to the Har HaBayis, to the Beis HaMikdash, and take cover from the rain? Yes?
They're praying for the rain to stop.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, so if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, in Simen Kuf Nun Aleph, says the Aruch HaShulchan, one second. Says the Aruch HaShulchan as follows. Aruch HaShulchan writes, well, this that the Gemara says you're not allowed to walk into a shul, mipnei hagashamim, this that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that way. Well, if I walk into the shul and I sit down and I say a few psukim, or I learn a little bit, right? We all know this heter. Person walks in and he says a little bit of Torah tefillah, so that's good enough. So, we can answer simply the Turi Yevin's Kasha, based on Aruch HaShulchan, what can you say? They were all going up to be mispalled that the rain should stop. Nu, so, Ein Lecha Makom Tefila Galam Yizeh. Best place to daven is, go up to the Har HaBayis. So you're right, they're going there, Ripnei HaGashamim. The reason they're going up to the Beis HaMikdash is because they're drowning in the water, there's a tornado going on, so they go up to the Har HaBayis, but while they're there, they'll say a few psukim, and fine. However, major however here, those of us who look in the Mishnah Berurah there in Simen Kuf Nun Aleph will see that the Mishnah Berurah strongly disagrees with the Aruch HaShulchan. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Simen Kuf Nun Aleph that if a person is talking and learning outside and it starts to rain and it's interrupting his train of thought, he can't talk and learning when it's raining and he's, you know, it's dripping and he keeps getting annoyed by the rain in his face. So then, says the Mishnah Berurah, then you're allowed to go inside to the shul and continue talking and learning. But, says the Mishabura, a person stam happens to be walking casually down the street and it starts to rain, says the Mishabura, it doesn't help to go into the shul, even if you're going to say psukim. You're not allowed to do that. It's still be Zion based
Knesset. They were talking about the rain on the street.
What?
They were praying for the rain to stop on the street.
Right.
And they prayed more.
No, but says the Mishabura, you have no heter to do that, just to say a pasuk,
right,
if you had no reason to go into the shul.
Before they went in.
So you're saying according to the Mishabura they were being mispallel before. So yeah. Now they go to be mispallel up there. Okay, that's a good teretz. So the Chidah writes that the teretz to all this is that it was a makom sakana, it was a pikuach nefesh, and we're in a tornado, we're in a hurricane, we have nowhere to hide, so we'll go to the highest place that we don't get hit. So either you could say, very good, either you can say like your teretz, I didn't think of that, that they were being mispallel in their homes. Now they go to makom hamikdash to continue being mispallel. It's fine. Or you can say like the Chidah writes that it was pikuach nefesh. Yeah.
How can you say that in the story of the Choni Magal that they went up to Har Bayis to daven because they wanted the rain to stop, but when it was stormy weather, it didn't say they went up to Har Bayis?
Well, that was just for a few seconds. Yeah, stormy weather for a few seconds, yeah.
Didn't the hurricane stop, and then it doesn't say Yarek to be
covered? Yeah, but then it was flooding. Everyone's homes were flooding.
Didn't that guy to make it, like...
So it says, first it was just dripping. Then the Gemara says it came down as a hurricane. And now the Gemara says, fine, so it stopped coming down as a hurricane, but still it was flooding up the whole city. They were afraid for their lives. That's what they did.
It was a nice rain when it didn't
stop. Right.
Right.
No, he said he wants it to rain nice and steady. Nice and steady. Don't kill us with the rain. But over here, it's coming down nice and steady for enough time that they were already drowning from the rain. Okay, so let's move on. Any other questions? Okay, let's move on. Says the Gemara as follows. We learned in our Gemara, Lo Yikonis B'mos Hatzrul Novus Adino. Right? We learned in the Gemara in Yiv Vamos that a person is not allowed to come into the Beis HaMikdash with money Hatzrulim Lo B'Sadino. If you look in Bab Metzia Daf Chaf Vav Med Aleph, if you guys learned that yet this year? Look in Bab Metzia Daf Chaf Vav Med Aleph, so Tosis there points out. It doesn't mean that it's usher for you to walk into the Beis HaMikdash with money. Says Tosis and Mamasiyah just writes, it's not right to walk in with a big pouch of money or with a big wallet sticking out that everyone should see that you're there to do some business with the shady business dealers over there. Says the Tosis, that's the Isser, but stam to have a few coins in your pocket, to have a few dollars in your pocket that are not going to be noticeable, that will be permissible. The Archa Shulchan also writes about this in the Archa Shulchan Asid.
You can keep your wallet.
Oh, so a wallet that's bulging out, the Archa Shulchan writes, that's not a good idea. But, right, if you're going to have a few dollars in your pocket, that's not a problem. That's the way the Aruch HaShulchan writes. Taisu says just to hold money in your pocket is fine because everybody knows, stam, a person's holding a few dollars, it doesn't mean that he's this major business dealer. Yeah.
So based on Taisu, when we say that nowadays, since like everyone just like stam has a wallet in the pocket, even though you might notice the bulb, since it's so common, it's the equivalent.
Doesn't mean anything, you're saying.
Right, the equivalent of then, just having a few coins in your pocket.
Could be. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. Aruch HaShulchan is talking about Bizman HaZeh, and he says, well, Bizman HaZeh, there's no problem to hold a wallet, because everybody knows if you're not holding a major, you're not a diamond dealer who's coming with a big chest of diamonds to do business. Stam holding a wallet doesn't really mean anything. So, if you look in the Mishnah in Shkalim, what? If you look in the Mishnah in Shkalim, so the Mishnah in Shkalim says the following, Hamotzei Mos Bahar HaBayis, someone who finds money that was lost on the Har HaBayis, Harei Elu Chulin. Strange then. Why should we assume? Very good. Why should we assume that a person who finds money on the Har HaBayis that the money is chulin? Why don't we assume? Ask the Ktos HaChoshen and Simon Reish, famous Ktos, with a famous answer. Why is it that a person who finds money on Har HaBayis the money is chulin? Don't we all know from Bab Metzia Daf Yud? You guys got up to there yet? Oh, you'll get up to there soon. Don't we all know from Bab Metzia Daf Yud that a person is able to be kona b'kinyan chatzer? How do we learn out the din chatzer? How do we know that a chatzer is kona for a person? Where in the Torah do we find that chatzer is kona? Rashi and Chumash. Two places. Nope. Rashi and Chumash tells us, the drasha of the Gemara in Bab Metzia, two different places where we find the chatzer is kona. Number one, in Himatze Timatze B'yado HaGneva, and Himatze Timatze is marbe a chatzer, that if a person steals by putting something in his chatzer, that's already going to be kona for him, and that is considered a gneva. And the same applies by an isha. V'nasam b'yada, zakti gemar v'nasam mikal makum. That a person has to give the get into the hand of the woman. But if a person puts the get into the chatzer of the isha, that's also going to be considered a good nesina to the woman. So you see that chatzar is kona on a level of daraisa. So asks the ktsos in Siman Reish, if you're right that chatzar is kona, so then why isn't the chatzar the Beis HaMikdash kona the money? Why do we assume that if a person finds money in the Har HaBayis, it's chul and he's allowed to keep it? Why don't we assume that that money is now hekdesh? Because hekdesh should be kona al yidei kinyan chatzar. That's the kasha of the ktsos.
Is hekdesh owned the Beis HaMikdash?
What?
Is hekdesh owned the Beis HaMikdash?
Yeah. Okay. It's the property of Hekdesh. So that's the kasha. So Tosis writes, what?
You say that a chatzar can be kona, it's not that the chatzar is kona, it's not the person who's in the chatzar.
Yeah, the chatzar is kona, even if I'm not there. Becomes part of the ownership of that balabas. That's what the Gemara says. Very important point. The Gemara says in Bab Metzia Daf Yud, even if he's not omei b'tzad chatzero, even if I'm not here, I'm in Honolulu, I happen to have a chatzar in New York City, and something, $1 million falls into my chatzar, sounds like a nice story. If that happens, says the Gemara, I'm kona, even if I'm not omei b'tzad chatzero, even if I'm not there. Yeah.
What if it's not $1 million? What if it's something you don't want, for example, on Pesach? Let's say someone throws some chametz into your yard. Mm-hmm.
Right, so the Gemara says, if it's balkarcho, if I specifically don't want it,
well,
I'm not
you don't know about it. You're
right, but if we assume that you wouldn't want it.
You know, someone throws some chametz.
Right, so if we assume you wouldn't want it, then you're not kona. Yeah.
Yeah, so don't we say in general, like, if it's a public place, it doesn't work. Like, if you find money in a store,
mm-hmm.
right, so if it's right by the chenveni, then it's a problem. But if you find it, you know, somewhere else, even though it's his store,
right.
you still keep it.
Okay, so what about over here? Let's say we find it right outside of the office of the Lushkas Gazis, whatever, right? We find it right outside of the office of the guy who's counting up all the money. So why don't we assume it belongs to him?
Okay, but that's another different question. I mean, it's not the same as saying anywhere in Har HaBayis.
Anywhere in Har HaBayis, you're saying you're not kona anyway because it's just the Rosh HaRabbah. So it's not really a private place. Okay, but let's say we find it in one of the rooms in the Har HaBayis. So why wouldn't we assume that would belong to Hekdesh and it would be Aser? So one could answer that Tosis writes in Baba Basar Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph that a chatzar of a person is only kona by a milsa de shchicha. But a milsa de lo shchicha at all. Let's say a lion ends up in my chatzar one day, right? That's something that no one would imagine. Or $1 million ends up in my chatzar one day. So would we assume that I'm kona? Well, that's a milsa de lo shchicha. So Tosis writes, on a milsa de lo shchicha, the chatzar is not kona. Well, over here, since it's usher for a person to come into the Makom HaMikdash with money, right? Person's not allowed to bring money, so it's a milsa d'lo shchicha.
He's allowed to bring money.
But the problem with that, Teretz, is we just said, Tosis writes in Bat Metzia Daf Chavav, that what? You are allowed to bring money. It's just you're not allowed to bring a big wallet. You're not allowed to make a scene over there by showing that you are some sort of business dealer. So that Teretz might not be a good Teretz, right?
And weren't they also selling animals for carbonos?
Right, so of course, the people are coming to make transactions. People are coming to buy things. So how can you say there's no money in the Makom HaMikdash? So that can't be a good Teretz, yeah.
I don't understand the concept. Who says that if you find money in the Lushkas Gazis, it wouldn't be Hekdesh? Like Usher was saying, let's say, so find money in Har HaBayis, Chatzar wouldn't work. And find money in the Lushkas Gazis, who says that?
So you're saying maybe it just means you find it in outside, in the Shetah. Could be, but the Ktsos doesn't assume like that, I think, from my understanding. So the Ktsos posits the following interpretation from the Ramban of Baba Basra Daf Ayin Tes, which is a very important nafkamina lahalacha. And in your travels through Shas over the next few years, you'll use this Ramban. The Ksos over there makes a Ramban of Baba Basra very famous, where the Ramban writes that Hekdesh is not kona b'kinyan chatzar. Why? Because chatzar is kona mitam yad, the Gemara says. The reason why a chatzar is kona for a person is because it is like an extension of his hand. And ain yad la Hekdesh. Hekdesh is not a person, so Hekdesh can't make any transactions with their hands. So therefore the whole Yad does not apply. So therefore, Kinyan Chatzar, says the Ramban, does not apply. A major nafkamina la'alacha, which the Ktsos HaChoshen then later is nostopic about, is what happens in the following case. Reb Kiveger quotes this in Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Nun Aleph. What happens if I find money in a Beis HaKnesses? I find money on the floor in the shul. Do I assume that the shul is kona? Or do I assume, no, the shul is not kona? So that's Reb Kiveger Sofik. What do you assume in such a case? Well, says the Ktsos, maybe we should say the same way Hekdesh is not kona, ein yad la Hekdesh, maybe there should be ein yad la Beis HaKnesses. Major nafkamina la halacha, right? A lot of times people find money on a shul, in the hallway, in the shul somewhere, and we assume that, what? What do we assume? You're allowed to keep it or you're not allowed to keep it? It's Rosh HaRabim, right? We assume the person's miyayish, probably. But do we assume that the shul should be kona mitam kinyan chatzar? Or should we assume, no, that the same way ein yad la Hekdesh, like the Ramban writes in Baba Basra Ayin Tes, so too ein yad la Beis HaKnesses. Yeah.
There's a little difference because Hekdesh is like a fund for the Beis HaMikdash, but who owns the shul?
Correct. That's the whole topic of the Ksois. Maybe we should say, Hekdesh is a special big entity that we all know about. There's Me'ila, there's whatever there is. There's something called the institution of Hekdesh, but a shul, who...
So you don't even have to come on to that Svara, because you can say, like, even if you would say the Prasanna would be a yad for the shul, there's no one owner of the shul.
Okay. There's no one owner of the Beis HaMikdash either.
I understand, but we view Hekdesh as sort of like a company that acquires it. But Mehecha Teis, you view a shul in the same way.
That's the suffix. That's exactly the suffix.
The shul of a kfar.
That's exactly the question. Should we assume that Beis HaKnesses is also an entity?
It's also a place you give
stuck. What?
It's also a place where you give stuck.
Right, you get stuck in the Beis HaKnesses. Who are you giving it to?
No, you're not giving it to the Beis HaKnesses. You give it to the
sometimes
rabbi,
you are.
No, you give for the upkeep of the Beis HaKnesses also. Right, there is a fund. There's a fund for the shul.
The Beis HaKnesses of the Kfar, we generally assume it belongs to the people of the Kfar.
Right. The Shutzfus.
Right.
It's like a business. Yeah.
But also, shul is a place of rabbis and
job. Right.
The same as Asher was raising before by Stam Harabayas.
So you're saying Chatzah shouldn't be counted there at all? Yeah, so look in that Ksos and Siman Reish. I'm bringing a lot of things to your attention to work on. You have a long Sunday afternoon today. So this is an important Ramban, because the Ramban is really going on a interesting halacha where it says that the Gemara in Baba Basra Ayin Tes, if you look at it later, there's not enough time to get into it, but if you look at it later, the Gemara over there says, if a person's makdish a bar to hektish, right, I'm makdish one of my pits to hektish, so is the hektish kona the water that's inside of it as well or not? So the Gemara says that what's in the chatzar of hektish, there's no iser me'ila on the water. If I'm makdish my bar, so it becomes part of Maman Hekdesh, but there's no Me'ila on what's inside of the bar. So that's what the Ramban is dealing with. Why is there no Me'ila? Why not? Why shouldn't this be Kona Mekinin Chatzer? Once I makdish the bar, so now everything inside of the bar should also be Kona. Very important Gemara. If you look there later in Baba Basra Ayin Tes, you'll see a lot of very important Yisodas the Halacha. Yeah?
Do we globally say that a corporation or Hekdesh can't... Can we assume that Hekdesh is a corporation? That it works the same way.
I guess,
do you say the corporation doesn't have a kinyan chatzar?
That's the question.
If you own the golden sack and you find a suitcase of cash, you don't assume that it's golden.
Yeah, it's a big question. It's a big question. How do we view corporations? Yeah.
Why was it that if you find it in the Beis HaMikdash, you assume it's Hekdesh because work money brought to Hekdesh?
Good question. Ksos talks about it. You have to look later. Siman Reish. Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah.
Also, if
Chatzim Mitam Yad.
It's
2 days in the Gemara. Whether Chatzim Mitam Yad or Chatzim Mitam Shliach. The Gemara says that from the fact that, I mean, it's a question by men, by women. Some sefer by Hilchos Mechiras Chametz talks about this, that maybe you should sell your chametz to a woman because it's Mitam Chatzim Mitam Yad. It's a big shaila. It might be different by men and women. That's the shayla. But we generally assume that chatzar is mitam yad. Okay, so now let's move on to the next sugya. Says the Gemara, one of the things one is not allowed to do in the Makom HaMikdash is enter with your shoes. Where do we learn out this din from? So the Gemara brachas on Samach Beis, and Beis learns it from the pasuk Shalna Lecha Me'al Raglecha. Moshe Rabbeinu is told right away when he walks into the Makom HaMikdash, take your shoes off. Well, interestingly enough, the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Dalet Amud Beis write this down to look it up later. The Gemara in Chagiga Dalet Amud Beis learns it from a different pasuk, and the Rashash over there says, "What's going on here? Why do you have the pasuk of Shana Lecha Me'al Raglecha?" And over there in Chagiga Daf Dalet Amud Beis, you have a whole new makar, a whole different pasuk that tells me you're not allowed to wear shoes in the Makom HaMikdash. Okay, we're going to leave that for now. But says the Ramban on Chumash Parsha Shmos, by the pasuk of Shana Lecha Me'al Raglecha, he has his own reason. Why am I not allowed to walk into the Makom HaMikdash with shoes? Because it's not covered Hashchina. It's not covered Hashchina. Walking with your fancy shoes, paid so much money to buy fancy shoes. Says the Ramban, it's not proper, it's not kavod hashchina to walk into the Beis HaMikdash with your shoes. Correct? So now we have three makoros. And it's a little bit strange because some of the Achronim point out, why do we need any of these? By Kohanim, we know that it's usher for them because they have to actually step on the floor because it says Lamad L'Sharis, and it's going to be a hefsek, a chatzitza, if they don't wear them. So you have to say these psukim are for the Hamonam, for everyone else who's visiting the Makom HaMikdash. But why do we need so many psukim? Why do we need so many different reasons why it should be usher? Yeah.
Yeah, but in today's day and age, I would say that it's much more covered to wear shoes, wear nice shoes. I'm saying, say that, oh, fancy, I don't get that's a negative thing.
Right. So I think the way they explain the Ramban is that a person should be machnia himself. When he takes off his shoes, he's showing that he's so, what do you call that?
Going to be wearing nice suits, I'm saying.
What? Yeah, what is it? You're so... You're humble, not, that's not the right word.
Subservient.
What about
what?
Yeah, so I think you're supposed to look nice. I just think when you take your shoes off, it's clear that you're so, what's the word? You're so,
not subservient.
You're so, what's the word?
Anybody? Immersed.
Mellow.
Meaning anything can hurt you. What do you call that?
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Right? When you take your shoes off, a person is extremely vulnerable when he's not wearing shoes. So I think that's what we're trying to show when we walk into the Makom HaMikdash. Have you ever tried to walk on your driveway that has gravel without shoes? Right? It will kill you. I don't think so. Right. Right. Yeah, I don't think that's over here. That's not what they explain, no. Yeah.
Maybe the reason why the Chagigah deviates from the Gemara Brachos is because the Gemara Brachos doesn't really... It doesn't really make a difference whether it's Kovadik or not. It just, you have a, looks like, look, it's a, there's a Kasa for the Chagigah. But the Gemara Chagigah implies that it's Derech Kavod, so therefore maybe Chagigah would give more slack.
Did you look in the Gemara Chagigah?
I did not.
So you have to look at it before we make distinctions here. You have to look at the Gemara. Huh? Okay, so the Menchas Chinuch here, Reish Nun Dalet, has a very interesting Chiddush. Says the Menchas Chinuch, listen to this. Says the Menchas Chinuch, we have an Isser to wear shoes in the Makom HaMikdash. Says the Menchas Chinuch, whoa, slow down. This doesn't mean every kind of shoes. Says the Menchas Chinuch, this only includes those shoes that we consider shoes in Kol HaTorah Kula. So on Yom Kippur, what do we consider shoes?
Leather.
On Chalitza, what do we consider shoes? Only leather. Says the Menchas Chinuch, anything that's not a leather shoe would be permissible to wear in the Makom HaMikdash, because the Torah doesn't recognize that as a shoe. And for that matter, says the Menchas Chinuch, let's say you're wearing socks or slippers, which don't have an akev, doesn't have a heel. So we never consider a slipper to be like a shoe, right? For Chalitza or for Yom Kippur, we don't consider slippers to be shoes. So says the Menchas Chinuch, if you're wearing slippers, she'en lo akev, or you're wearing shoes that are not made out of leather, he quotes from Rashi in Yevamos Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis, where it would seem there would be no prohibition to go up to the Makom HaMikdash if a person is wearing slippers or if he's wearing something which is not made of leather. The Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid has the following suffix. What if you have a situation where you need to wear shoes, the Tzorach Mitzvah, in the Makom HaMikdash? Let's say you have a case of a chalitza. There's a bezdin in the Makom HaMikdash. A woman, Nebuch, needs a chalitza. Now she comes up to the Makom HaMikdash and asks the bezdin, can we perform a chalitza? Well, you're not allowed to wear shoes, and these shoes are made out of leather, so even the Menchas Chinuch would agree that that's not permissible. Well, should we assume that Letzarach Mitzvah would be permissible? Because maybe that's not a Bizayon. Maybe there's no prohibition of Kavod HaShchina in such a case. So that is an interesting suffix that the Aruch HaShulchan discusses. What happens when a person, let's say, is wearing, needs crutches, right? What would you see in such a case? Or a person has a cast, a full body cast, and he has to walk in with his cast. What would you assume? Is that considered a...
Switch to a wheelchair.
What? Oh, we'll talk about a wheelchair in a few minutes. But what would you say in such a case? Is that considered like a shoe or not? So the Mishnah Melech points out that the Gemara writes in Shabbos, Mefurish, Yotzei Hakav B'Kitea B'Kav Shalo. A person who cannot walk, he has an amputated leg, and now they put a fake leg on, an artificial leg, or a person who needs to wear crutches, or a person who needs to wear a body cast. In such a case, says the Mishnah Melech, that would be clear that there's no prohibition at all of wearing shoes in the Makom HaMikdash in such a case. That's not really considered like a shoe at all. Yeah.
But according to the Mishnah, wearing slippers, you might work besides that, but it would also kind of seem guided to walk the most holy place in order of wearing slippers.
Uh huh.
So like.
Meaning, I don't know, I always cringe when I see people walking into shul with Crocs.
Right. It's just, it would be like a similar thing.
What's wrong with Crocs?
Nothing's wrong with Crocs, but to walk into shul with Crocs is very, not covered Ashkina. Yeah.
So the Shemitah's going to have said, it has to be like a shoe for Chalitza. I mean, how far did he take that? I mean, does it have to have all the technicalities of a Chalitza shoe?
No. That's not. So those are separate dinim and Chalitza. He just says there's a Tzura of a shoe that the Gemara says is considered a shoe for Chalitza. Meaning the Torah only says there's a halachic shoe if you follow these guidelines.
Right, so I'm saying, so if it's like a minol, so it's leather, but it's
right.
It has, you know, the strap and all that, so that's okay?
I think he just means the Tzura of a shoe that the Gemara describes there in Yevamos Daf Kuf Beis. I think that's the way he explains it. that would be considered a shu'al pi halacha, and it would work lekula over here that a person would be allowed to walk into the makom hamikdash with a slipper or with a sock. An interesting halacha. Now let's go to the next din. Next din is about yeshiva ba'azar. Right? We say one is not allowed to sit in the makom hamikdash. Is this a din d'oraisa? Is this a din d'rabbanan? Where does this come from? Well, if you look in the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in Mitzvos Esei Chaf Aleph, and in the Chinuch over here in Siman Reish Nun Dalid, says the Rambam and the Chinuch that Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara, one is not allowed to sit in the Azara, that seems to be a Din D'Araisa that's based off the Mitzvah of Mora Migdash. One has to show Kavod, excuse me. Thank you. One has to show Kavod to the Makom HaMikdash. One has to show Kavod to the Makom HaMikdash, and one of those expressions of Kavod is one is not allowed to sit in the Makom HaMikdash. That's the way the Rambam and the Chinuch explain. And based on that, it would seem that this is really a din d'oraisa. So the Menchas Chinuch over there quotes the Rambam and he says, well, I have the following concern. Because if you're going to lump this together with the din of Mora HaMikdash, right, if you're going to say that the Isra to sit in the Makom HaMikdash in the Azara is because it's an expression of Mora HaMikdash, he says, why is this different than all the other halachos? We just said before, the Gemara told us, you're not allowed to go in with your money. You're not allowed to go in with shoes. You're not allowed to go in with your walking stick. That even applies to the Harabayis. Right? That even applies to the Harabayis. Well, says the Menchas Chinuch, why do those apply to the Harabayis? Because they're part of Mora HaMikdash. Well, if this is correct, says the Menchas Chinuch, why is it that there's only an Isser to sit in the Azara proper? There should be an Isser to sit in the Harabayis as well. If all of this is just an expression of Mora HaMikdash, if all of this is just showing how much I respect and I show my fear for the Makom HaMikdash, well, if that's the case, then why do we differentiate between wearing shoes and sitting? That's the question that the Menchas Chinuch raises. Menchas Chinuch says you have to assume. Menchas Chinuch says you have to assume that this is Nimsar HaDavar LeChachamim, which is an interesting concept we're not going to get into, but there are certain dinim de'araisa which we find that the Chachamim have the right to determine how exactly that should play out in actuality and in practicality. Says the Menchas Chinuch. The Torah over here said a general mandate that we have to have Mora HaMikdash. We have to respect the Makom HaMikdash. Says the Menchas Chinuch, how that's going to play out and where it's going to be also to do certain things and which activities are going to be a part of that Isser, that's left up to the Chacham to determine how the Din D'Oraisa should play out. So that's what he says you have to explain over here. Now, Tosfos in Yuma Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph writes that when it comes to Achilas Kachim, when it comes to eating the Karbanos, the Kohanim are allowed to sit, even though we have a din Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara, says the Tosfos in Yuma Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, that since we know you have to eat L'mashcha V'L'gdula, when the Kohanim are eating the Karbanos, they have to eat it like a king would eat his food, so therefore they would be allowed to sit down while they're eating the food. From the Rambam and the Chinuch, it would seem clearly, the Menchas Chinuch points out, it would seem clearly that this is not permissible. One is not allowed to sit in the Azara at all, even though he is supposed to be eating the Kachim in a fashion of a king eating. Still, says the Rambam and the Chinuch, this would not be permissible at all. One is never allowed to sit in the Makom HaMikdash. I thought maybe this is similar to the Aruch HaShulchan Safek before. Remember when we discussed about putting on shoes, so the Aruch HaShulchan had a Safek, what's the din with putting on shoes for a Tzarach Mitzvah? What's it then for putting on shoes for a chalitza, let's say? Is that mutter in the Makom HaMikdash? Well, we're not sure. Well, over here, maybe that's the same discussion. This Machlokas Tosfos and the Rambam, about whether a Kohen is allowed to sit down when he's eating the Kachim, maybe that would be the same type of discussion. Because over here, it's a Makom Mitzvah. You're supposed to eat the Kachim in a certain fashion. So I'm not sitting down for my own covenant. I'm not sitting down for my own comfortability. I'm sitting down because I would like to be Mekayim HaMitzvah properly. So maybe that would be permissible. But Tzvi Pesach Frank points out that the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis that if a person eats a mincha, and that carbon mincha is made just like matzah, and it happens to be Pesach night, lo and behold, so would he be able to be yotzei his mitzvah of achilas matzah or not? So the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Lamed Vav, yes, if you have the good fortune of being a kohen in the Beis Hamikdash on the night of Pesach, and you have a mincha, which is matzah, mamish kasher for the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, you would be allowed to be yotzei your mitzvah of achilas matzah on Pesach. Ask Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, don't we know it says in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tafayin Beis in Aruch Hayim that you have to do haseba? If you don't do haseba, you're not mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah. So how can you be mekayim your mitzvah of achilas matzah? How does the Gemara say you can be mekayim your mitzvah of achilas matzah if you eat the menachos? Don't we know you have to do haseba and it's even ma'akev? No, any takers? Yeah.
Oh,
that's what I thought. If you're b'fnei rabo, you're pater b'masevo. The same way, if you have a person who's eating by his rebbe's house, he's supposed to have kavod for his rebbe. He's supposed to have yira for his rebbe. He doesn't do a seva, so maybe that's the same answer to Rav Tzvi Safran's kasha. That over here, if I'm by my rebbe's seder, I don't lean. So for sure, if I'm in the most kaddish place in the world, I'm in a place where there's a mitzvah, mora hamigdash. For sure, I'm not allowed to lean. Correct? You like that? I think that's a good teretz. I think it's a good teretz. Why is one not allowed to lean in the Makom HaMikdash? Because the same way you're not allowed to lean in front of your Rebbe, so too you're not allowed to lean in the Makom HaMikdash where we have a mitzvah of Mora HaMikdash. Yeah.
Doesn't the matzah be made lishma? So if you're making it lishim karban mincha, how you...
Gotta look in that Gemara. It's a detail that the Rishonim talk about there. Now what happens if a person comes in on a wheelchair? Right? A person comes into the Makom HaMikdash on a wheelchair. So we know, someone who can't walk is not chayv in Aliyah L'Rega. Correct? Someone who's not walk is not... Someone who can't walk is not chayiv. What?
Someone can't walk, someone doesn't have feet.
No, someone who can't walk. Huh? Is not chayiv in Aliyah L'Rega because he can't go up with his own legs. So what's the halacha if you have a person shows up in a wheelchair, he's not mechuyev, but he shows up in a wheelchair. Is that an iser to go into the Makom HaMikdash in a wheelchair? Is that considered yeshiva ba'azara or not? What would you say? You say no. Why?
You're not choosing to sit. It's your state.
This is your mode of transportation. Yeah. But you're not... I'm not doing it because I'm sitting. So I think just to bring out your point a little bit more strongly, what happens, let's say, a very practical example. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael in the summer, on Tisha B'Av, when I was in Etzis Waikola, on Tisha B'Av they have these trips that go to different places, right? So one's not allowed to sit on Tisha B'Av on a chair. So how am I allowed to go onto the bus and sit? What do you mean? You go before Chatzos, right? So how am I allowed to take a bus into... What? How am I allowed to go in a car to shul on Tisha B'Av morning? How am I allowed to do that? It's a comfortable seat. How am I allowed to do that? So what's the answer? Exactly. This is the mode of transportation. That's the pasha to teretz. That's the way of getting to shul, is to go in my car. I'm not sitting down because I'm trying to have tainug on Tisha B'Av. So it's the same over here. This is my mode of transportation. This is my way of getting around. I have to, Rahman al-Islan, I have to sit on a wheelchair because I don't have legs that can take me there. So in such a case, that is not a violation of Yeshiva Ba'azara. The violation of Yeshiva Ba'azara is showing that I don't respect the Makom HaMikdash. That's not what I'm doing when I'm sitting in a wheelchair. I'm sitting in a wheelchair because I want to come to the Beis HaMikdash because this is my only way of getting there. So in such a case, we would assume that that would not be a problem. Yeah.
So in a case where someone could walk to Olerega, but he's standing there for however long or coming to Bavoda, so he needs a wheelchair there to sit down after he gets tired. And he could walk there, but he's going to get tired standing there for a long time to sit down.
Well, he can walk out to the Har HaBayis and sit there. There's no Isra Yeshiva on the Har HaBayis. Mamish.
So he walks with he's all right, all the way he gets around your shlag, goes in the wheelchair so he can
go up. All right. We'll talk about it when Mashiach comes. We'll ask him the Shiloh. So the Gemara does tell us, though, that Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara, this halacha that you're not allowed to sit in Azara, only applies to everybody else other than?
The Melech.
Right, Malchus Beis David. A Melech from the Malchus Beis David is allowed to sit in Azara. It's an interesting Yalkut Shimoni in Tehillim. The Yalkut says like this: "Achal shalti mi es Hashem osa abakeh shifti mi es Hashem." Right, famous pasuk. Says the Yalkut: "Isa amar of Abba Bar Kahana Malchus Shaal." Very interesting Yalkut. The Yalkut writes: "Shifti b'veis Hashem kol yomei chayei. Achal shalti mi es Hashem." What am I asking for? Says the Yalkut: "Malchus Shaal." David HaMelech is asking for the Malchus, for the Malucha. What does that mean? How do you see that in this pasuk? So the Margolius Hayam, Reuven Margolius writes in his Margolius Hayam and Sanhedrin, that what it means is from the fact that he says, Shivti beveis Hashem, I would like to sit in the Beis Hashem. Well, how you let us sit in the Beis Hashem unless you're a Malchus Beis David? That's what the Medrash means, Malchus Shaal, because he asked, Shivti beveis Hashem, he asked specifically for a bakasha that he wants to merit sitting in the Makom HaMikdash. Well, that can only happen if you become a Melech, a Malchus Beis David. So that's what the Medrash over here means, that he was asking that he should become a Shivti beveis Hashem. Let's skip a little bit. Let's go a little further into the Inyan of Yeshiva Ba'azara. The Magen Avraham in Siman Kuf Mem Aleph, is that on here? Yeah, the Magen Avraham, we don't have it on here. Magen Avraham asked the following stira. The Gemara says in Zvachim Dav Yud Tesamid Beis that Amida Al Yidei Smicha, which means, is this called Amida or not?
No,
why not? Right, because if I take away the table, I would fall down. So that's called Amida Al Yidei Smicha. It's called standing by leaning. So the Gemara says in Tzvachim that when it comes to doing avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, when I have to stand, the pasuk says, Lamod Deshares. So in such a case, if a person leans, it's not called standing. right? His avodah is possible. It's not called standing. In the Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, we paskin that you have to stand when you do Kriyas HaTorah. So the Gemara says, what if a person leans, if he's the Baal Korah, and he leans over like this while he's leaning? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins over there in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah that he's not yotzei the mitzvah of standing. You have to stand while you lean. That is not called standing if I'm leaning on a table, the same way it's not called standing if I lean in the Beis HaMikdash while I do avodah. However, in Chosha Mishpat, look at this Ramah, in Chosha Mishpat, Simon Yud Zayin in Hilchos Eidus, it says, Ha'edim l'chatchila tzvichem l'hayed ba'amida. Eidim have to stand when they're being made. And the Ramah over there is Mosif, Da'amida ayde smicha mikri shaper amida. Frakta magen avram, what's going on? In Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, the Ramah paskins, what? You're not allowed to lean. You're not allowed to lean while you're leaning. In Hilchos Avodas HaKarbanos, you're not allowed to lean while you're being makor karban. Why is it over here in Hilchos Eidus that the Ramah paskins that one is allowed to lean while he's giving edus? Yeah.
Don't they just make him uncomfortable? And if he's leaning over clearly because he's uncomfortable and he's going to stand up, he's leaning over.
We're going to say a similar variation in a few minutes. Yeah. Okay, yes. Anything else? So hold on to that thought. We're going to get to it. So this is the kasha of the Magen Avraham. What's the difference between Hilchos Eidus, where one is allowed to lean according to the Ramah, and why is it by Kriyas HaTorah one is not allowed to lean? So says the Magen Avraham as follows. Magen Avraham quotes a Gemara, a Tosis in Sota Daf Mem Amud Beis, where Tosis quotes from a Yerushalmi, at this that we say, Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara, this that we say a person is not allowed to sit in the Azara, that's only with what? Only if a person really sits down. But says the Yerushalmi, what if a person is getting tired out, he walked all the way up to the Beis HaMikdash, he decides to lean on a bench, or he decides to lean on the wall in the Makom HaMikdash. Is that considered sitting down in the Azara? Yeah.
Is that enough for the wall?
What?
Megillah talks about that.
And what?
That is considered sitting.
In the Beis HaMikdash?
Oh, no, in general.
In general, yeah. In general, we assume that's considered sitting. But when it comes specifically over here to the mitzvah of Mikdash Tiro and the Isra of sitting in the Makom HaMikdash, Tosis quotes Yerushalmi, that that would not constitute a violation of sitting in the Makom HaMikdash. Why? What time have we finished today?
20.
Okay, let's finish up quickly. That would not constitute a violation of sitting in the Makom HaMikdash. Why? Because that's just leaning. What does that mean? Why? What?
Isn't that Milo? Just lean on the walls of the
Yisrael. Okay, I mean, so it's a good point.
It's not Amidah, but it's not Yeshiva either.
Oh, it's not Amidah, but it's not Yeshiva either. Okay. So here, says the Tumim, in explaining the Magen Avraham, the Tumim says as follows. Because over here, the only reason I have to stand is not exactly what you're saying. It's not because I have a din amida. It's not that I have to stand in the Makom HaMikdash. It's just that I'm not allowed to sit. Mishum kavod hashchina, I have to show some sort of respect. And just to sit there in my lounge chair in the middle of the Azara, that's not respectful. But to stand and just lean on something, that would not be a problem. Exactly like you're saying, that would not be a problem. That's the way the Tumim explains why it would be mutter for a person to lean in the Makom HaMikdash. Well, based off that understanding, the Tumim explains the answer to the steer in the Ramah. And the Ramah writes in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, one's not allowed to lean. The Gemara says by Hilchos Avodah, one is not allowed to lean while he's doing the Avodah. Well, that's because over there, there's a din Amida. There's a din by Akrovus HaKarbanos that you have to stand. So over there, it doesn't help if you lean, because that's not called standing. When it comes to leaning, one has to stand. So that's not called standing. When it comes to the Makom HaMikdash, or when it comes to being made Eidus, the Gemara says over here, we don't have time to read it, but the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Yotes, the whole reason to stand by Eidus is because what? It's Keilu, you're being made in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Because Hashem, the Pasuk says, Elokim Nitza Ba'das Kel, right? That Hashem is found when there's a Bezin sitting together. So one has to stand when he's giving Eidus because of the Kavod HaShechina. So therefore, it takes on the same halacha as Yeshiva Ba'azara, and the same way by Yeshiva Ba'azara, we assume if a person leans, that's good enough. So to over here by a Bezdin, when one is giving Eidus in front of the Bezdin, if one leans, that would be good enough, and that would not be considered a Bizayon to the Bezdin or a Bizayon to the Shechina. Yeah. You're saying, Ba'am du shnei anashim. Yeah. So that's the way the Rishonim explain it. It doesn't mean, Ba'am du shnei anashim, that there's a din amida. Say the Rishonim, no. Ba'am du shnei anashim just means out of cover to the Bezdin. That's the way the Ran explains it. Good question. It's the Ran's kasha. And the Ran says, no, it just means that you have to show kavod to the Bezin by standing up. So, if in the Beis HaMikdash itself, when we show kavod to the Shechina, we're allowed to lean. So for sure over here, when it's just kavod to the quasi Shechina that's here because of the Bezin, that for sure would be permissible to lean. Yeah?
If you're
completely
depends on kashas, he's the avodah. He's not kashas. No, because by the avodah
is a dinamida. He's not
kashas. Right, it's a good point. He's a balmum. It's a balmum anyway, right? It's a balmum.
Why is Kriya Sotel different
than Kriya Sotel is a dinamida. It's a dinamida. The Gemara says in Megillah that there's a dinamida. You have to actually stand by Kriya Sotel. So if you actually have to stand by Kriya Sotel, so then that's not sufficient just to lean on something. Now, one important nafkamina lalacha is the following. Look at number tes. The Torah in Arachayim, Simon Reish Samachas, tells us in Hilchos Shabbos. Look at this. Hillel Shabbos Kodesh, Omer Bayechulu Ba'amida. Friday night we say, Bayechulu, standing up. Shehu Eidus La Kodesh Baruch HaMaisa Bereshus, Uksiv, Amdu Shnei Anoshim. Vidarshu Chazal B'Shuvas Daf Lamanu Mebeiz, Eilu Eidim, Sher Tzrichim Lahoy, B'Yachad U'Mu'umad. Says the Torah, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch there as well, in Simon Reish Samachas. When a person says Vayechulu on Friday night, he has to stand. Why? Because the same way we find in Hilchos Eidus that a person has to stand. So over here, when I'm being made Eidus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have to make sure that I stand. Now, if you assume that Friday night we're actually being made Eidus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we say Vayechulu, says the Aliyah Rabbah in the next source as follows. He says B'Shem his grandfather, that the same way before a person gives Eidus on a get or gives Eidus on a Kiddushin, he's always Mahar B'Tshuva. So too says the Aliyah Rabbah, his grandfather used to be Mahar B'Tshuva every Friday night before he said Kiddush. Why? Because I want to be a Kasher Eid. I want to be an Eid Kasher to give Eidus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Aliyah Rabbah. There's no joke. Aliyah Rabbah is a real safer. Says the Aliyah Rabbah, a person should make sure that he's Mahar B'Tshuva before he goes ahead and says Vayechulu on Friday night. And along those same lines, they quote from the Arachayim HaKadosh that every Friday night the Arachayim HaKadosh would sit and learn. Before davening, he would sit and learn Hilchos Eidus. Because he would try to determine whether or not he was a kosher aid. Did he do something wrong that week that would make him a pasul aid or not? So they said that the Arachayim HaKadosh every Friday afternoon used to sit down and learn Chashim Mishpat, Simon Yud Zayin Hilchos Eidus, to see whether or not he was a kosher aid. So all of this falls under the rubric. Why do we do that? Because an aid has to have kavod to the Bezdin. The Bezdin really is a representation of the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. That being the case, we know that a person has to stand in the Makom HaMikdash. So too he has to stand in the presence of the Beis Din, and whenever he's giving Eidus. Therefore, the same way Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi in Sota Daf Mem, that one would be allowed to lean, and that would not constitute a violation of Mora HaMikdash if he leaned in the Azara, because there's no Din Amida, it's just a Din that you're not allowed to sit, so this is not called sitting. So to over here, when it comes to the Beis Din, the Ramah tells us in Simon Yud Zayin and Chashem Mishpat, if a person leans while he's giving the Eidus, that would not constitute a violation of a Bizayon to the Beis Din or to the Shechinah. Hope this was clear, and everyone should have a wonderful day.